At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I'm Bama John. In this episode, we're going to look at the Bama win over Georgia again. Our Upon Further Review episode, we're going to get into the ins and outs of the huge Bama win at Georgia. Roll Tide, baby! Any win on the road in the SEC is a great win, and winning at Georgia is glorious. So the question will be, where are we now in that sphere of coming in 3-1? So today is Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, in the year of our Lord. Thank you for tuning in. We now have over 4,600 subscribers to the YouTube channel and growing. We got lots of people listening to us on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and all the other places where you can find the podcast. Tonight, I'm joined by Gary G. Money and T-Pain, Dr. T. Welcome, gentlemen. All right, first words, G. Money.
Excited to be here. We're just kind of glowing, and I'm loving all the Who's Your Daddy memes circulating out there, and it's just it's a good time to be a Bama fan. Always a good time.
Right.
T-Pain.
Yeah, I heard one of the funny things on Instagram or somewhere where it said, like the Jerry Springer show, hey, the paternity test is back, and yeah, Alabama's the daddy.
Like that. Love it, love it, love it. And as I told you guys, even if we won by 1 point, I didn't care. I just wanted to get a win. I'm thrilled. We're in it. We're in control of our own destiny. But it's going to be a tough road. We got a lot to accomplish between now and going to Auburn for the Iron Bowl. But I am super thrilled, super excited. Snap that 33-game home winning streak of Georgia. And Kirby Smart's just beside himself. He's like, dang it, they did it to us again.
Yeah, it's definitely in his mind. It's not a big factor for sure, but he knows he's 1-7 against the Tide. And I'm sure it hurts him pretty badly.
Well, and he bristled a little bit at his press conference. I think that was the final question. And, you know, he didn't overreact, but you could tell that question really irritated him. I guess if I was 1-7 against Alabama, I would get irritated too.
Yeah.
Good luck for Georgia's next opponents. They're going to be fired up for Kentucky. They're going to be fired up as they dig in to these other SEC games. I guess they got Texas coming up, don't they? Don't they have Texas coming in there soon? Good luck, Arch Manning. You're going to get it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Y'all want to jump into some of the stats, some of the things that we looked at. The number one thing that stood out to me is it was clear in a way who the MVP of this game was. Ty Simpson stood out like a sore thumb, and he got lots of contribution because he can't win it by himself, but his stats just stuck out. And nobody else, like Jeremy Bernard, had a good game. Kalen Proctor, you got to say Jam Miller, but nobody had gaudy stats other than Ty. And I mean, Ty was just fantastic. It was a great team win, and he is our team leader. I was just thrilled for him. I love that guy.
I did too. I think Kirk Herbstreit talked about him some on the show, in the broadcast about, you know, it was a Josh Pate. He said he has a special place in his heart for a guy who sticks around these days and waits his turn and then shines like this. Most kids would have already left and been gone somewhere else, especially when Milroe. I mean, Ty probably sat on the sideline last year and thought, I'm better than him. But I'm going to wait anyway. And I admire him a lot. And he's also a neat Christian guy. And And but just he's playing great, man. I mean, he looks like he might be the Heisman candidate leader in a few weeks.
No turnovers. That's amazing. And I don't believe in jinxes, but it's amazing he has zero turnovers, no picks, no fumbles, no safeties, no nothing. It's amazing. He is having a great season. He is in control. He is the unquestioned leader of this team. But lots of other guys played well in the game, but I mean he was fantastic.
Yeah, let me follow up on something T-Pain was talking about. His post-game interview, Ty's post-game interview, I just loved it. It was so authentic. You could tell in his voice he was just overcome with joy. He was so humble. He talked about his teammates. And it wasn't in a way where he was kind of saying the right things. He meant it, and you could tell that. And that was just wonderful, wonderful to hear. And I'll say, you know, he's not a player. He's the coordinator, and we can talk about it later. But again, this Ty Ryan Grubb combination is starting to remind me of Sarkisian and Mac Jones in 2020, where they're in sync, man. And the OC's calling plays that are in Ty's wheelhouse and sort of that gimme offense. He is taking what the defense gives him, and he's doing it in this very efficient way. Not super flashy, and it is working. And honestly, guys, this is our offense is very difficult to defend. You know, you look at our play calling and the checkdowns and what Ty is seeing, especially short and intermediate, and he's taking what they give him, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, and I love they're actually kind of rotating offensive linemen around trying to find the best five. I like that five where they have Formby at the right guard. And who is the other guy? Carroll, maybe? At right
yeah, Michael tackle. Carroll is yeah. The true freshman, five-star true freshman.
That might be our best five when you have it like that. And they actually ran the ball pretty effectively with those five.
Well, and although we haven't run the ball really well this season, I mean, the offense has been geared around Ty. He's been the offense. But that last series, we got some key runs in there, and it was such a great mix of run and pass. And as I thought about the first half and the second half and the lack of scoring in the second half, how about running the clock out against a tough Georgia defense and just executing and mixing in the run and the pass? And Ty was just perfect. And that comparison of Sarkisian to Mac Jones, Grubb, I think, is a great OC. I don't know how much longer we're going to keep him. I think he's going to be up for a head coaching position. But, guys, I loved Mac Jones. Ty Simpson is a better athlete than Mac Jones. He's more mobile, and I think he's got a better arm than Mac. I mean, Mac's accurate, and he was great at putting the ball where he needed. And, of course, he had stud receivers. Now, so does Ty. But I think Ty's better than him, and I think Ty can play on Sundays, and he's proven it.
I'm going to push back a little bit on the better arm. Mac Jones, he didn't have a huge arm, but his long ball, man, he could pinpoint some of those shots. And Ty has proved that, again, in the short to intermediate routes, especially if he's not moving. Now, he did that post route that Ryan dropped. He did put that on the money. We haven't needed it. Again, this is a gimme offense where we're going to take what the defense gives us, and he's executing so well in his decision-making. It's just he's going to be hard to defend. Every opponent that we face, if Ty continues this progression, is going to have their hands full.
And, y'all, again, he's only played four games. I mean, good grief, y'all. I mean, every game he's getting better. It's like he's getting his education and he's doing really well so far. I mean, he's getting a degree at quarterback, and he's early in the process.
Hey, my bold prediction, baby, Ty Simpson, that one's living up. I know some of the other. I'm going to go through those bold predictions on one of these episodes, and we'll do the wah, wah, wah on the ones where I bomb, but I nailed the Ty Simpson.
Daniel Hill, you bombed on Daniel Hill.
Hey, the season's not over yet.
That's true. That's true.
Hey, but my Jeremy Bernard goes for 1,000 yards and is all SEC. He's looking pretty good, too.
It's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good.
Now, my running game that we'd get back to the Bama running game, not so much. But, you know, And here was another stat, guys, that I thought was pretty amazing. So I've got in here the breakdown of the run pass. We pretty much had a 50-50 mix of run passes in this game, which is amazing considering how much more productive we were. But just that balanced offense, which we did not have at Florida State, we gave up on the run. I thought that was pretty phenomenal. I think Ty threw for what, 30, he threw 33 times, is that right?
38
times. And I think we ran the ball 37.
38. No, they ran it 38 if you count the Caden Brocker, 38. Yep.
Yeah, that's actually what it is. It was 39 pass plays and 38 run plays. Because didn't Jeremy Bernard throw a pass?
That's right. That's right.
But that's pretty much a 50-50 mix, guys. That's brilliant.
I would say some of that situational, though, because, you know, when you jump on top and you're trying to kind of control the time of possession, you're going to naturally, you know, call more run plays. It was a balance. I think that's great. But I would say some of that is situational. If we had been down 14-0, we would have been a little bit more pass heavy, and we were in the first half anyway. But then you get that second half and sort of your mindset. Saban was so good at that. You know, if you got a little bit of lead, like, he didn't play to not lose. He still played to win, but he's like, we're going to start pounding you. We're going to eat up the clock. And I thought Kalen DeBoer did a really good job kind of managing the clock in the second half.
Yeah. You know, when I saw that 38 rushing attempts during the game, I would have thought it was more like 20. That's the crazy thing. It just kind of snuck up on me. I never thought 38 until I saw it. And I was like, wow, it's crazy.
All right, let's jump into here for some what I want to call the grades. Overall, what would you give Alabama's grade as a team for how we did in this game?
A minus.
I would say if it wasn't for the – I'm going to do a little qualified answer. I say A, but because of the rushing yards we allowed and how we allowed them, I have to join T-Pain and say A minus.
Well, we're in unison here because I'm an A minus as well.
And a
great
kicker.
Win.
And a kicker. Hey, so when you take A plus offense, and then except for, you know, the running, and then B minus with an F kick. About it all averages out.
Yeah, guys, so I could have done that kick. I could have done what he did. I could have done that doink to the left.
Hey, that reminded me of
your left foot.
That reminded me of a game day kicker.
So I think we're all in agreement. It was an A minus, but, you know, we got out of there with the win. For now, the monkey is off DeBoer's back. He now has that skin on the wall. Go on the road, beat a big SEC team, and get it done in a hostile environment. I'm just thrilled. Now, can he do it two more times? I'm not going to say he has to do it three more times, but he's got to do it at least two out of these next three. Can he do that? But I'm thrilled with that. We're in control of our own destiny. We're now projected into the college playoffs. Odds are looking good. You know, we're really right there in the running to end up in the SEC championship game, which that's kind of a mixed blessing to me. I'd love to be in the SEC championship game, but I'd love to have the week off as well to get guys healthy. You know, that's a tough one. All right, let's go ahead and grade our offense. What do you guys give the grade on the offense?
I'd say an A.
Yeah, A.
So I gave it a B+, and hear me out on this. I thought Ty was an A+. He was phenomenal. I thought our passing game and I thought our first half play was A+. I thought we shut it down too much in the second half and got kind of out of whack. Some of it was just Georgia playing well. And then our inability to run the ball. We had that first drive, went down, got in field goal range, missed that. And then we didn't really do much until that last drive when we put it on ice. I felt like that all the drives until that last drive in the second half, we didn't seem to have quite that get in sync. So I gave it a B+ just because of that. So
can I make a point, though? So,
oh, yeah.
I'm applying the theory of relativity. And let me just say this. If we beat Georgia on the road when Georgia's a top five team, some position is going to get an A. I thought – the offense did better relative to any other position group, certainly not the kicker or special team. So they get my A. So that's part of my sort of rationale.
Yeah, I gave the whole team an A minus, so somebody's got to have an A, so that's going to be the offense.
I guess it was the Jekyll and Hyde thing for how do we put up 24 points in the first half and have an A-plus showing, and then we go goose egg in the second half and get nothing, and I couldn't believe that we're able to – that they shut us out and we still won. And so it's just like a – it was a tale of two halves, so that's why I gave it a B-plus, even though as a team – it was kind of like it was an uglied up game and we got out of there with the win. And so it was an A minus for getting the uglied up win. But I just thought the offense needs to be better. We need to put a full game together in one of these big games. Because last year we did the same thing. We jumped on Georgia. We had a great first half offense. And then the second half, other than the big play by Ryan Williams and I think two field goals, we sputtered out again against them. So maybe
I'm much of that. How much of that, John, is Kirby is good at making halftime adjustments?
Yeah, we said that in the pregame episode.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So we gave the ability to make adjustments to Kirby Smart. He
did
it last year. He did it again this year. And, I mean, they've got some phenomenal athletes, obviously. But they sort of figured out – I say figured out Ty Simpson. They didn't figure out Ty Simpson, but they knew we were going to run the ball more. And I thought they did a very effective job of making adjustments in the second half.
Yeah.
So my thought on that is, how do we sputter on offense the whole second half? I know that field goal was ugly. How do we sputter like that? And then when we need to ice the game, they just let Ty do what he does, and all of a sudden we're moving the ball. I think had they scored and they got that seven when we got them out and they had been up 28-24, I think Ty would have done just what he did to run out the clock and just surgically taken us down the field and scored. But I'm kind of like, where did that go? And to me, maybe Grubb was just happy to milk the lead. I can't explain it. And also, I hate it when we take shot plays on first down. And a couple of times in the second half, we took shot plays going for the big deep ball like it was Jalen Milroe out there. And it's like, no, get your 3 to 6 yards on first down and take a shot play on second down if you want.
That keeps them from stacking the box. I mean, if you got to keep them honest, I mean, you got to take those shots sometimes on first down to kind of loosen up the linebacker positioning and try to be able to run the ball on sometimes second down and even third down if it's third and short.
But I just felt like we didn't get that single coverage that we want on a shot play. To me, don't take a shot play if you don't have single coverage. If they're bringing the house and they're giving you man coverage like we did when Damani Jackson got burned, which that's a whole other thing that kind of is sticking in my craw. It's like, do it at that time. But if you're moving the ball, hit that short intermediate. I mean, throw it to Latier Brooks in the slot and let him just bulldoze. But it seemed like whenever we wanted to get that short intermediate pass – we could get it. And it's like, just keep doing that. I mean, you know, just do that. So that's why I kind of couldn't give them an A, is it was like we were so good in the first half and the second half till that last drive, which was brilliant. That was an A-plus drive. It was just, where was that the rest of the second half? And to your credit, Georgia's a good team. And I agree with you. Kirby Smart is an excellent coach. That was a huge win. But that's why I gave him a – I couldn't give them an A. I just
man, you know how they rate your professor? If you're my professor, John, I'd have to give you a bad grade, man. You're being awfully hard on us tonight, our team, right, baby.
Yeah, where's the grading curve, man?
My grading curve was on the overall team's A minus. How about that?
And by the way, people that are on the audio don't see T-Pain, but I need to figure out what kind of Yoda filter you're using there, man, to make yourself just like glowing and all pretty and stuff, man. I'm over here. I'm still in the office. I don't have my ring light. I look like the old man on the screen today.
I love it.
Hey, what lotion do you use? I'm kidding. Let's get back on track.
must use the lotion. All right. On defense, what's your grades on the defense?
G Money, go.
Oh, I'm going to have to say, well, so I gave it an overall A minus, for the team. So you would say B plus. I would say somewhere in that B to B plus range, but I would tend to go to B plus because there were a couple of times we absolutely had to make critical plays. LT made one, Pierre made one. So therefore B plus.
All right. Yeah,
I would say rushing defense. I'm going to kind of get to my answer, but rushing defense, a C minus, passing defense, an A. I guess I'll come in at a B for the whole overall defense.
I gave it a B, and I call it a generous B because our rushing defense is so bad, and we still show that we have trouble with dual threat quarterbacks, and we're going to see all of that with this Vandy game coming up. So we better strap it on because Vandy has a better offense than Georgia does. It's going to be tough to stop them. It's going to be a tough thing. And then the other reason I gave it a B, and, you know, I feel like I'm being generous, is we were so good on those first two Georgia drives and just stopped them. And then we come out and get hyper-aggressive, and Damani Jackson gets hung out to dry with no help over the top. They didn't tell him, hey, whatever you do, don't get beat deep. If they complete a 15-yard pass, who cares? You can't get beat deep. Boom. Next thing you know, it's 14-7.
Can I push back on that? So,
yeah.
So, okay, it's almost like you have a scale, right? And so if you have more here, you know, to balance it out, you have less there. If you take away that long pass play, that out and up that Damani got burned on, Gunnar Sladen didn't do anything, essentially. I mean, yes, he had a couple of plays here and there, but statistically.
Except for the drop. Remember, they had the wide open drop.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but that's a fair point.
We got drops, beat there, too.
The drops canceled out. I mean, we could also pad Ty's stats if Ryan would have caught the post play, the post route that he ran. So my point is you have to sort of temper our disappointing run defense with a couple of things. Number one, we shut down their passing more or less, certainly compared to what they've been doing on the season against other opponents. And number two, Chauncey Bowens is a heck of a back, had a heck of a game. And, you know, they've got a really good offensive line. And, you know, it's not like we're playing Wisconsin or La Monroe. I mean, you look at their rushing stats, the 6.9, that's too high. We can't allow 6.9. I'm 100% with you. But Bowens broke a couple of long runs that kind of, you know, that affects the average or whatever. So that's why I'm sort of overall a B-plus on our defense.
So the one thing about the drop on the Georgia side versus the Bama side, we still scored on that drive. To our credit, when Ryan dropped that pass, we still scored on that drive. And actually, I like the fact that he dropped it and we still scored because we ate more clock. We kept their defense out there and we chewed them up. So our offense is better than Georgia's offense. And on that drive where they pass was dropped, they didn't score. And so that was a huge drop on their side. Now, they had drop-itis all last year as well. They don't have as good receivers as we do. I mean, they just don't. They have better running backs than we do. They have a better running game than we do, but they don't have. So that was the thing that got me, is it seems like, and I think it's schematic, is Kane just gives up explosive plays too much, both in the running game and the pass game. Is you've got to keep everything contained and you got to keep everything in front of you. And sometimes I'm like, what are you, and I blame that on Kane. I don't know if you guys saw that on that when he was doing this and it was on me and then DeVore was in his face. I'm like, we just shut him out on two drives and then we go out there and get ultra aggressive. I think we blitz like seven guys and we hung Damani out to dry with single coverage, no help over the top. Keep doing what you're doing till they show you they can beat you with that base defense we played on those two drives. So that's what drives me crazy, is I don't get Kane sometimes. And then lack of containment too. We don't contain well on defense.
I'm not saying Damani's a lockdown corner. He's not, but he's a good player. But he didn't play well on that play. So that's factoring in, too. His technique with the hip turn, everything was not good. That's not – he did not have a good interview day for playing on Sundays. He probably will play on Sundays. But he made a mistake on that play. So I don't put that sort of part of the failure on Womack.
Well, here's why I do is they should have said, we're going blitz. And if you're going heavy blitz, the worst thing you can do is get beat over the top. And Damani shouldn't have been worried about biting on that fake. You got to keep a little cushion, and you don't bite on that. And I thought he played too. It was bad technique. But if Kane had really run that to him 10 times, 20 times, 30 times in practice, they would have practiced it to where he would never bite on that fake in that scenario. So that's why I think the coaching didn't have him prepared for that scenario. And they should have been yelling at his ear, you cannot get beat deep. You can't take fakes, all that stuff. So that just drives me crazy. Is I agree with you that he had bad technique, but I think he wasn't taught the proper technique in that scenario, and that's why I put it on coaching. So I'm going to be hard on Kane this whole podcast because I think he's our biggest question mark on the coaching staff is giving up too many explosive plays, not having enough containment, our linebackers not filling holes when the holes come in. You can kind of see the linebackers and the holes developing here, and the linebacker goes the other way. I'm like, what are you doing?
Okay, those are trees. Now let me make a forest point.
Okay.
We held them 2 for 8 on third down.
Which is great.
2 for 8. We were 12 for 19. That was the ball game. We played situational ball, third down, turnovers, time of possession. Okay, those are three keys. That time of possession, some of that you got to give Womack a little bit of credit. And I'm not a huge Womack fan. I'm not trying to become one. But I do think holding them 2 for 8 on third down conversions, huge against that team and that environment at night. Huge.
We got it done, and I'm thrilled about that. But I just see that as the biggest question mark. And if we're going to win a natty, we got to clean that up. You know, Ohio State will burn us on that. Oregon will burn us on that because they have better, more high-powered offenses. And that's the thing is, you know, that if that's the standard, we want to win a natty, we're going to get beat in a big game with a better offense. And that's what worries me. That's all.
Yeah.
All right, special teams.
I like Cole Adams.
Yeah. What's the movie about the, like, older guy trying out for the Philadelphia Eagles? Seems like we could have some kind of open trial.
Invincible? Wasn't it called Invincible? Yeah. Vince Papaya? Well, yeah, yeah.
Certainly, we got some players on our club soccer team here at UA that could try out for kicker who could boot it a little bit.
Yeah.
And really, the only gaffe was the missed field goals. We didn't give up big kick returns. I thought we were good on kick coverage. We didn't muff any punts. I thought all of that was good. So I gave it a B minus, but man, we got to make 43-yard field goals.
Or at least come close.
All right. <Yeah.
laughs> All right. What about the coaching grade overall?
A minus.
I got to go A minus. I sound like a copycat, T-Pain, but I think you're all right.
Hey, we're unanimous, baby. A minus.
We're just right. I mean, we're right.
That's right.
I'm right there with you guys. I give it an A minus. So
I think DeBoer, I'm hopeful at least that he's learning that in the SEC versus where he came from in Washington, every week he has to coach very well. You know, and I think in Washington, I'm not saying, you know, every game is a pushover, but it seems like he only had like a couple big games a year, Oregon. I don't know who else he played, but now every week here, I just think he's kind of getting in shape, in SEC coaching shape, where every week you got to coach your butt off. There's no times you can't relax. And I think that's carrying over to Kane as well. And I love, like you said, I love seeing him in Kane's face. Like, hey, what are you doing that play there? What are you doing? I think he's getting much more involved and more vocal, which we need. And I think it's translating into good play on Saturday. I fully expect this Saturday for them to keep coaching well and for that to translate into a win.
There's an alternative theory. You know, they call Bob Stoops big game Bob. You know, we talked about in the preview episode that at the time before the Georgia game that Kalen, it was 8-0 against Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian, and one other big coach. Now he's 9-0. So, yeah, they only played a couple of tough games in the Pac-10, and then you include some of the bowl games, but he won them. And so, you know, he made the couple of losses that he had were kind of letdown games, sort of like Vandy last year or FSU certainly this year. So it's almost like maybe he's the type of coach that the more the pressure's on, the better he performs, the better he has the team prepared. Certainly the bye week helped us this week. But if that's true, if that theory's true, then if we could just avoid a disappointing loss, then let's get to the playoffs and let them shine.
Let him go, baby.
You know what this is for? One, we can afford one more loss.
No, that's City Slickers, one thing, right?
That's right. I didn't know what finger that was, John. I was like, what finger are you holding up?
What's he doing there?
just one loss. So we got to figure out how to go 7-1, and we're in business, baby. We're in the playoffs.
If this team keeps doing what it has done in the past three games as far as the way they're prepared, the way they're playing with effort, the way they're coaching, I still cannot get over what happened against Florida State. I mean, I feel like if we played Florida State this weekend, we would thump them. And I'm like, how did that happen? I mean, was that coaching that first week? That's just
I've said that all along. Terrible. We were not prepared schematically. Grubb abandoned the run. Kane Womack was terrible. And I don't know what DeBoer was doing and why he wasn't on him. We made no halftime adjustments to deal with what they're doing. I didn't get that game at all. I think they've learned a lot of lessons. I think DeBoer and Grubb have grown more as coaches than Kane has. I think Kane's doing better, but I still think Kane hasn't risen his coaching game to the level of those other two.
Yeah.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
And it sounds harsh, but thank goodness the Seahawks had a bad team last year. Because we would not have Ryan Grubb right now if they were good.
And he's a heck of an OC. I just love what he's doing with this team and with Ty and the offense. And again, getting back to that last series, to come in when our offense had sputtered the whole second half and we ran the clock out. Loved it. Loved it. Great play designs, great confidence in Ty. Ty went out there and executed. Jam Miller had a couple of good runs, and we just moved the chains, and I love it. And I love these long drives that we've done. And that was the thing when we get back to FSU. We went down and marched down the field, punched it in. We're up 7-0. And then where was that the rest of the game? Because he abandoned the run. And he abandoned that short passing game that Ty has proven he's so effective at. And then, you know, Kane was just getting his hat handed to him by Gus Malzahn. And guess what, guys? Vanderbilt is going to do all those Gus Malzahn plays. Plus, they're going to do all the other Diego Pavia plays. So Kane better be ready. And that's one of the reasons I'm being so harsh on all this stuff is he has no margin for error because there's going to be all that eye candy. And Diego Pavia has got to be one of the three best quarterbacks in the SEC, I think. Now, granted, he's like 30 years old, but, you know.
Well, you know, Rick talked about how new DeBoer is to the SEC. We all know, having been longtime Bama fans, that you don't want to face a revenge game against Saban. Well, DeBoer's got a chance to put his stake in the ground and let's prove something Saturday. You don't want to face Kalen DeBoer in a revenge game and – I know we'll talk about it maybe in another episode, but I wouldn't want to be Vanderbilt right now. I can tell you that.
Well, and DeBoer at home is different than DeBoer on the road, and I'm hoping the Georgia game is that game where he starts showing, hey, you got to fear me on the road as well. But DeBoer at home wins, and so I'm confident. Again, if we win by one, I want to win. I don't care how we pull it out. That South Carolina win at home last year was ugly, but we got the win. So we got to figure out how to do it. I'd like us to, you know, beat them 42-25, but I think Vandy's going to score. They put 40 on us last year, and I think their offense is better this year than they were last year. So we'll see how much better our defense is at handling that. But we're prepared for what we're going to face. We know the kind of stuff they're going to do to us, but can we execute, and can Kane get them ready, and then can our guys execute? Very interesting.
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic that this coaching staff has turned the corner with Kane trailing behind them. But, yeah, I mean, until I see it this Saturday, I'm going to hold my final opinion. But if we can stop Vanderbilt, at least hold them to a reasonable amount of yards and points, and we beat Vanderbilt, I know I'm with you. 1-point victory is great. But let's face it, y'all, we need to beat Vanderbilt by more than that if we're going to have a chance to win the national title. If we struggle at home against Vanderbilt, that's a bad sign. And if we do, I think Kane's got to go at the end of the year.
And, John, but, I think you're right. John's right about they need to study the FSU tape. Castellanos, yeah, very similar. They play the multiple spread, the RPOs, the zone reads, all of that. And, you know, watch and identify those failures, work on them. Hey, it's okay to fail, right? But learn from your failure. I say that tongue-in-cheek. It's really not okay to fail. But when you do fail, you should build on that and have the humility to try to learn from that. Hopefully they spend some time with that FSU tape.
And the Vanderbilt tape last year. Just look at all this. And look at, I mean, every game he is – Diego Pavia is putting on a clinic on how to be a dual-threat quarterback. And, you know, he's the benchmark in the SEC with Mateer out and hurt. I can't think of – well, you know, maybe you can say Lenore Sellers may be a better dual-threat quarterback than Diego Pavia, but Pavia went to South Carolina and roasted him. Now, I don't think
Chambliss can run. Chambliss can run.
Now, oh, that's true. Yeah, I keep forgetting about Trinidad Chambliss.
Hey, Ty Simpson can run pretty good.
It's going to be a fascinating game. I'm excited about. All right, some notables. These are things I noted. Bama wins a big game on the road against the dual threat quarterback. Love that. No turnovers. We had less penalties than Georgia. 13 of 19 on third down for us. And what were they, 2 of 9 on third down for Georgia?
I think 2 of 8.
Or 2 of 8. I love all those stats.
2 of 8, yeah, and 0 for 1 on the fourth down, baby.
great first half on offense. And how about that 2-minute drive at the end of the first half? That was huge. Yeah, grab the ball, go down, put the ball in the end zone, and go in 24-14. I felt really good about that Bama team, but little did I know we wouldn't put any points on the board in the second half, which is still crazy.
My second favorite moment, you know, the Caden Proctor. I'm just a sucker for that. That was my favorite moment in the game. But my second favorite moment is when Ty rolled right and scored that rushing touchdown, and just in character, modest, humble guy, but he's competitive, right? Just a little shush, just like, all right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He shut him up, didn't he?
He did.
Hey, other notable moments, when Ryan Williams dropped that pass and then also did not block well, I loved the fact that the coaches, whoever made that decision, put him on the bench. That was so awesome. It's awesome for the team to see. It's awesome for Ryan Williams to see and to feel it. And he came back better later in the game. He caught that pass that he got killed on. And I was like, he caught it. He caught it.
And the replay of that missed block, Rick, he didn't look like he missed a block. He looked like he didn't want to block on that play. He was just kind of like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. And he's not a big guy, right? I mean, I understand, but you got to do your job.
I know. I mean, I think his stock in the NFL is kind of dropping a little bit compared to last year.
Well, it's a good thing he can't go to the NFL then, and that he's got to stay in college another year. So we'll get him back next year. Next year will be the money year for him, where he's got to come out and put up 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns and do all that stuff. So I love it. All right, here's another thing that I noted, and this gets back to a point you made, Gary. I phrased it as somehow – Bama stopped the Georgia offense when we needed it most. We got the key stops when we needed to. In spite of giving up the explosive plays, in spite of them thrashing us with an effective run game, we got the stops when we needed to. And if you told me they'd put up those rushing numbers they did and move the ball up and down the field, I would have thought we were going to lose. And we got the key stops. So I love that. Any comments or thoughts on the defense being clutch when we needed them to be?
It's a sign of a championship team that in the biggest moments when you're needed the most, you step up. We've got the athletes, like we're saying, that play by LT, just getting a hand on the back's ankle or whatever and knocking him down. Those are the kind of things that you see, and you don't want to say, well, those are the cookie crumbling in our favor. That's not a cookie crumbling. That's one of our studs making a play, and we've got enough of them on the roster. In the pregame episode, we talked about giving Alabama objectively a little bit of nod on the roster. We saw those things come through at the right time, Bray forcing the turnover. I mean, just time after time, when we needed to make a play, we made it on defense.
Yeah, I agree. And if you haven't liked and subscribed to this, y'all should go watch the episode before the Georgia game. We called this, baby. We called. We said we had a slight edge on talent. We gave the Ryan Grubb a slight edge there over Mike Bobo. We were right again, baby. Hey,
and tie over Gunner. Tie over Gunner.
That's from Tyree Gunner. Yeah, hey, maybe we're not so Bama true anymore. Maybe we're Bama pro, baby.
The Bama spurts.
That's right.
Okay. So, and Gary, to my point of you, that LT Overton play, the alignment, we were in a bad alignment. They should have gone to that right side because we didn't have an edge player. They had the numbers on that side, and LT, like, just shot through two linemen because he wasn't even on the edge, and he shot through two guys and somehow gets enough grab and pull on that guy that he falls down him and he makes the shoestring tackle because he was going to get that first down had he not tripped and fallen. And, you know, hats off to LT because they had numbers and they should have gotten the first down and maybe should have scored, except for LT made an extraordinary play again where I thought Kane needed an extra guy on that side of the field to shut that down, and we were so worried about them running up the middle, and LT made an extraordinary. And to me, it's kind of like one of those miss hits you have in tennis where it goes off your racket and falls in for a winner. That's LT made the effort, and he was in the right thing, and then he did enough to get him on the ground, which was amazing. Yeah.
And I mean, he moved all the way from College Station to play in a game like that, to make a play like that. I mean, he just motivated, athletic, just awesome. And you're right, our alignment was not great for the play call that they made.
Right.
But he made the play.
And it was, I loved it. And he blew through two linemen, just blew right between them, and the strength and the speed to get out there and not let that guy get outside his grasp and trip him up. It was amazing. All right, guys, a couple other things. Bama is in control of its destiny. Won its hardest game left on the schedule. We still have to go to Missouri, South Carolina, and Auburn, but none of those teams is better than Georgia. And we need to win two of those three, and we need to go undefeated at home, but we're in control. We're going to make the playoffs if we bring it every week. And I don't think there's any team left on the schedule that's better than us. We should be favored in every one of those games if we can stay healthy. And I know we've got a few nagging injuries, and then James Smith has to sit out the first half against Vandy. But I love that fact that we're in control of our destiny.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Saturday is going to answer a lot of questions about how concerned we ought to be on the road games, because Vandy did thump South Carolina. And, of course, South Carolina beat Kentucky this past weekend, which I'm not sure that's a big quality win this year. But, you know, how good is Missouri? How good is South Carolina? Missouri's still in the top 20. South Carolina, I'm a lot less concerned about that game now. But if we handle Vandy like I think we're going to, and you never want to overlook an opponent, but that one's off my worry list.
Well, we always know the Iron Bowl is going to be tough. Weird things happen in the Iron Bowl. So it'd be nice to win the next seven games and go into the Iron Bowl 10-1 instead of going in 9-2 and needing to get that win. So,
yeah.
And Missouri, they've got a light schedule, I believe, between now and when we play them. So that's gonna be a tough game. But I think we're better than they are. They're good. I'm not gonna. And it is on the road, and that's another chance where DeBoer can go get that road SEC stink off of his back and prove that he can win multiple SEC road games. And because I'm confident in him to win all the home games. I really think we can run the table and win all the home games. Can we get two of those three? I'd like to get all three of them. But, you know, that was my my thought on that. All right, so let's talk about the tale of two halves. Do you guys have anything else on the tale of two halves, the first half and the second half? And just we got the win, but we didn't put together 60 minutes of great football.
Well, you didn't ask us to grade the half, so we can say A, B plus, and that averages to an A minus.
Bam. I like that.
I would give the first half an A+, quite honestly, even though we gave up a couple of explosive plays to get out 24-14 at half. What a great half. I'll take that anytime on the road. And then, you know, I guess it was 7-0 in the second half. And but, you know, we made the plays we needed to. But, boy, that was a struggle bus second half. I was pacing around, guys. I couldn't get relaxed that whole second half. Just until we got that last first down, it was clear we could bleed the clock and they didn't get the ball back. I was nervous and pacing. So,
you know, speaking of that last first down we got, I heard someone, as y'all do, I listen to a lot of different things and I don't know, remember where I heard this, but somebody, I think it was the Paul Feinbaum show, was talking about how good Ryan Grubb is at just at play calling. And like that last call, 3rd and 5, I think it was, when, you know, Ty Simpson rolls to his left, turns around, hits Jam, you know. He said that play was called because Ryan Grubb had seen how Georgia had played several other plays throughout the game and felt confident that how they would line up when we form in that formation, and also felt confident that that linebacker, this is what the guy said on the radio. I thought it was, he managed to sound like a genius, but he said that linebacker, he knew he would bite on the motion to the left and would not be able to catch Jam. And he said it was just a brilliant, brilliant play call. And when you hear the guy break it down, it makes me respect Ryan Grubb even more. But I think he's ahead. I think in the second half, even though it wasn't what we wanted, kind of like you said earlier, John, it's almost like he's milking it, and he knew when he needed a first down or needed a drive, he could get it. And which I'd rather just keep the, you know, the pedal to the metal. But I think he was just playing the game the way it unfolded.
Well, and I'll make two comments about that. So First of all, it's Senator Feinbaum to you, Dr. T. He's considering a Senate run, which he won't have my vote, but. Anyway, the second thing is, you know, Ty brought up that play in the post-game interview, and basically he was, it sounded like, given authority to do a check down if he wanted to, and he saw that alignment was like, because he was talking to the reporter just like, and I knew that play was going to work, and I knew Jam was going to catch on. So, I mean, he was smart enough not to try to vary the play that was called based on the alignment. Right. So I think both of them should get credit for that, both Ty and Grubb.
And speaking of Ty, Gary, I know we're all loving Ty a lot, but like if I had not ever seen Ty play before, and that was my first game to watch, I would have assumed he's played a couple of years. Just the way he was in charge, man. I mean, at the line of scrimmage, he just seems so seasoned, and it's hard to believe he's only played 4 games. I mean, he is playing so well. I'm really impressed.
Well, and it's the slope of his learning. Yeah. Because if you had watched the tape from Tallahassee, you would not say that at all.
Right.
He got flustered very easily, and he was under pressure a lot. So it's amazing. It really is amazing to see his progression.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ty is my guy, as I've said repeatedly, and I love it. So in that first half, Bama goes up 14-0. Georgia comes out. And on second down, first down, they get a few yards. Second down, they rip off that 29-yard run on a play to the left. and Bray Hubbard and Damani Jackson fail to set the edge and contain Bowens, and he rips off a big run. Then the next play, first and 10, and again, Kane comes heavy, and that's when Damani gets hung out to dry. And it's like, you know, just go with the bend but don't break defense. You just gave up a big play. They don't have as much room. So I just didn't get on first down why. I mean, maybe he thought he could blitz them and get Gunner and a, you know, to take a 15-yard loss and then it's second 25. But it was like we started so well, and next thing I know, it's 14-7 because I was loving it. We're up 14-0. It's like, what are you doing? What? We just, you know, got two big explosive plays out of three plays, and they're right back in the game. And so I just wanted to comment on that. And that's where DeBoer then after that series was just giving it to Kane. And then Kane's like, my bad. And I mean, what are you going to say when your head coach is ripping you? And I guess that's his equivalent of the Lane Kiffin Saban rear chewing, which I love seeing DeBoer do that. But I just noted that. And you know, any further comments on that three-play drive? Because it's like, bam, we had those two long drives, and bam, they're right back in it.
I would just say I would be equally concerned with the Zachariah Branch drop on that post play, because I didn't see if there was a busted assignment or whether he just beat our second level. But, I mean, he was open, and we, you know, we're going to play some teams that aren't going to be dropping those deep post routes, so – I would be watching the tape on that too.
Yeah. And John and Kane, yes, he went my bad. And I loved it because when the players are coming off the field, he kept telling them, hey, it's on me. It's on me. Even though I agree with y'all. I mean, Jackson should have known, hey, you know, I'm by myself on this play. Don't bite on any kind of under routes. I like the fact that the coaches, they felt bad. They told the players, hey, let's not lose our mojo like we did at Florida State. You're fine. That was nice. Just to reassure them, we're good.
Yeah. Can I be cynical for a minute, Rick?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say my bad, when A, it is your bad, B, you know the cameras are on, and three, you've been excoriated by the fan base over a couple of games, right, especially the FSU game. That right. makes it a little more, I don't want to say scripted, but it's like, I'm going to be ready if we get a play blown up. My bad. You know what I'm saying? It's right. time to, like, take responsibility. I don't think it lessens what he did.
Right.
But I mean, that's a little context to kind of keep in mind.
Right. In the back of his head, he's probably thinking, Bemature guys, they're going to get all over me.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to hear what he have to say. He doesn't want to hear us.
That mean that's Dr. Right. T is going to be on me like white on rice.
Hey, formerly known as Dr. T, now it's T-Pain.
Bring in the pain, baby. So then we go back down, we get a field goal, we're up 17-7. And then right after that, Chauncey Bowens again rips off a 43-yard run. And this was an explosive play that went off tackle. And, I mean, the seam just opened up. And to me, they had numbers on that left side, and we didn't adjust to put numbers on numbers, and I just don't get that. And the linebacker, nobody filled when that hole opened up. Nobody filled. There was some missed tackles, and Bowens is a heck of a running back. But that's, again, where alignment, we got caught in the bad alignment, and they gashed us. And it was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it seemed like anytime they wanted yards, run off the left side, and it was there.
Yeah. I was going to say those kind of adjustments that we didn't make based on that play call are going to potentially bite us. But I think it's going to be much later in the season. I think we're going to be able – I think our offensive production is probably going to be able to cover over some of those, John, until we hit an Ohio State or some team where it just won't. And by the way, do we have enough followers where I can do a product placement because I keep sipping on my Diet Coke? See the Diet Coke over there?
Yeah, there baby.
There we go, baby.
Woohoo!
Sponsor. We need sponsors. We're ready.
Let's
call
do this.
Me. Call me.
That's right.
Call me.
Oh, hey, on that note, Gary, I have a Waffle House gift card coming soon. So.
Oh, man. Their hash browns are so good. Anyway.
They're good.
And then right after that, so they get it to 17-14, and that's when we go on that beautiful two-minute drive, 75 yards, eight plays, boom. score, and then Georgia has no time to do anything else. We'll go in the locker room, and I'm elated. I mean, I was thrilled in spite of giving up those two explosive, well, really three explosive plays that led to their two scores. I was thrilled with the first half, and I'm like, I love it. I love it. Can we hang on? So any comments as we close, talk about that first half?
I just want to know, could you relax at halftime after that?
Oh, I was enjoying it. I was feeling good at that point. It's when they scored and got it to 24-21 that, you know, that drove me crazy. And I was going to bring that up. So we go down, get the ball in the second half. I'm like, all right, let's put more points on the board. And then, we stall out at, what, like the 30, 25, wherever it was. And then Talty misses that 43-yard. And I'm just like, what is going on? And that looked like a bad high school kick. It was so bad. It's like.
John, did you look? Was it a hold issue? It didn't look like a hold issue live.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. It was just a terrible kick. I don't even know how to explain it. I didn't see anything. I thought the snap and the hold, and it was awful. I don't know. And then right after that, Georgia immediately drives down. And the one explosive to play, they had a nice jet sweep. Do you remember the jet sweep fake reverse where they do the jet sweep and then the guy comes like this and they fake the reverse and we lost containment on both sides. We didn't have it contained on either side. It's like, what is this, FSU all over again? And the jet sweep, you know, pops it. He doesn't score. But Dylan Bell went, I think, 43 yards and put him in the red zone and they just ran it down our throat. And I'm like, how can we continually bite on that after the FSU game? I just didn't get that. It's like, what is going on?
You got to give Bobo credit, though. I mean, that's a Lane Kiffin-esque. You watch a team get burned on the reverse a couple of times, and then you run the fake reverse. Great play call on that sport. Give him some credit.
No, I give him credit, and I would run all those Gus Malzahn plays. I mean, why not? It was brilliant. And I'm not sure whether he had the option to look at when they ran the fake reverse, it was a jet sweep. So you got to set the edge. That guy's coming. And I mean, did he have the option to give it to the guy if the defensive end stepped up? But I mean, nobody was home.
It happened pretty quick too. Well, they executed the play well.
It was a great execution on their part, but how do we not have somebody whose job is to set the edge, to force everything inside, to get outside and push it to the middle? And I don't know. That sticks in my craw, and I blame it on Kane and every play. And we're going to see that from Vandy 15 times. There's going to be all sorts of plays like that where Diego Pavia will pitch and then he'll go lay a block out. It's crazy. And so anyway, that was my rant. After that, the defense held up. Now on that drive that we've already talked about, the LT miracle shoestring tackle, that was a heck of an effort play by him. But again, he was in bad position and the numbers didn't favor him and he just made a heck of a play. And I can't believe after they scored that they didn't score again in the game. What do you all think about Kirby not kicking the field goal on that 4th-and-1? Any thoughts on that?
I assumed he was going to kick it because they had the momentum. And then when he went for it, I was like, oh no, I didn't want them to go for it, but it worked out well.
It was a brave play by a brave coach who's got some rings and, you know, had some success. And I was like Rick, I was surprised he didn't kick the field goal. But when they went for it, I was very nervous.
I thought they were just going to give it to McCray and run up the middle and get a yard or two, and they'd make it easily, and then they'd cram it in the end zone. So I couldn't believe we blew that play up. It was awesome. I mean, it was great. All right, guys, this segment's called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. So let's go through the good first. First thing I wrote down was Ty Simpson.
I would say his distribution to a lot of different receivers, Quavis, he made a critical play over the middle to a tight end I didn't even know was on a roster. I'm not saying that to be bad.
That's my cousin, Caleb Edwards. Did you know that? That's my cousin.
I did not know that.
I'm kidding. But anyway.
Oh, okay. You got me on that.
But I claim him. He's good. He's a, you know, he's a 4-star, maybe a 5-star tight end. He's really good. He's really good. 6'6".
He's just Ty's vision is improving over the middle. I think we made this point earlier. If you look at the distribution of passes, both the ones called and the completions made, he's very comfortable over the middle. That's a lot different than, you know, some rocket arm guys that like to throw those outs, that like to throw those corners. So it's nice to see that. And look at our touchdowns too. You think, okay, Isaiah on the fade, you know, because he can out jump somebody and win a 50-50 ball. No, we've got these inside release plays, and Ty's looking, he's scanning, but he's looking in that middle on both the touchdown throws. And I just love that. I think it's a big asset.
Well, and you can't cover all our receivers. We have so many good weapons. You can't double anybody. Somebody's going to get open. I love it. And Ty finds them. It's amazing. All right, next things I wrote is the good. And this is a – so bear with me. I wrote Bama first half offense. Then I wrote two great clock-eating drives at the beginning of the game to put up 14 points, and then great end of first half, two-minute drive to score TD to go up 24-14. So, love that first half offense. Phenomenal. I wrote that down as good.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
Good passing game.
Great.
And then I wrote down Bama third down defense and Bama third down offense. We were money on the money downs. We really were.
G-money.
Well, we're situational. That's what I was saying. The time of possession, the third. We've talked about all this. Situational ball. It's Saban-esque. It really is a Saban-esque.
They got to bring it this week, and still no turnovers. That is unbelievable to go through.
That's unbelievable. Games. And then the on the other side of that, you know, what's his name? Hubbard. Yeah, Hubbard caused a turnover. That was amazing. Great tackle.
You get a demerit for forgetting Bray Hubbard's name. I'm sorry.
I know. I know. How about John Mangum? I'm sorry, Bray Hubbard. John he reminds Lynch. Me of John Mangum.
Reminds me of John Lynch. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah, bad boy.
Bad boy.
And another good thing is we broke the penalty streak. We actually had less penalties.
Could not believe
yards.
It.
Finally.
Could not believe it.
I credit T-Pain for that because he said in the preview, can we finally have a game? And yes, they delivered. They delivered.
They did it.
Yeah.
And then the 50-50 run-pass mix on offense.
Yeah.
It's great. Tough.
All right, you guys have anything else to add to the good? Those were my goods. Just any points that stick out that you're like, wow, this was amazing.
The win is bringing the game day crew back to Tuscaloosa for the 63rd time.
Look at them, baby.
I love your screen. I love that screen. Wait, is that a gaming chair? Did you just out yourself, or did you just show us your gaming chair? It's got the speakers. you rocking a little League of Legends in there, John? At night?
I don't have the speakers, but it is a nice comfy chair.
He's playing Call of Duty after we finish this tonight.
T-Pain, any additional things to throw in the good?
Just that I love, we already said this, but the distribution, the passes are amazing. I mean, to have seven receivers potentially in a game, it's so hard to stop that. I mean, you have two good tight ends. You have five good receivers. You can throw to the running backs. We could be really hard to deal with every game all the way out until January 20th. Let's go.
All right, let's get into the bad. Bama run game. Any comments on that other than we got to do better?
Do better, man.
Bama.
We did.
I don't
think that's the personnel's not the problem.
Bama run defense.
We need to learn how to run block better. And I think we were talking about this the other day. It's like our guys actually pass protect a little better than they run block, which is counter. I thought it'd be the opposite, you know, but I don't know. We need some more Chance Warmax and DJ Flukers who just want to maul you.
And Wilkins, let's give him some credit, man. He's stepped it up. I mean, I saw something yesterday that where he was graded, and his grade in that game was like outstanding.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was the highest among all the linemen. He had a great game.
That's amazing.
Hats off, Wilkin.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go get a taco.
Bama run defense concerning. And we're going to find out. We're going to deal with that a lot this weekend. We're really going to be tested and stretched.
Yeah.
Castellanos tape. Watch it.
Yeah. And just go watch all those Diego Pavi. I mean, you're going to see everything they're going to do. Can you stop it? Can you be disciplined?
And how annoying is it that Johnny Manziel is coming? We can talk about that in another episode, but come on, man.
No, bring it up. Come on. Tell me about it.
It's just, I mean, before watching Pavia last year torch us, maybe the most annoying quarterback we've ever faced is Manziel in that epic game that he made those amazing plays. And so I don't know. It's sort of a cousin of clickbait. Like Manziel's sort of irrelevant now. And so he's trying to make headlines by, you know, hey, you know, Pavia's my guy. I'm going to come to the game day. I'm going to come to Bam. I'm going to sit with the, you know, Vandy fans or be on the sideline.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They got us talking about it. I shouldn't have brought it up, brother.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Will K is not a Johnny football fan. So.
I'm sure
one day Will K will return, but he's on a hiatus right now. So we'll have him back on here at some point, Bamature fan. So, and then the last thing I said is the bad was we gave up too many shot plays on offense. On defense, it's just, you know, the big not shot plays, big explosive plays. And we gotta stop that.
You take away their the two big runs, and then the play that Damani got burned on, we locked them down, really. I mean, it was – yeah. Our defense, I think, needs a little more credit.
Hmm. Well, I give them credit for going in there and holding them to 7 points in the second half and us getting out of there with the win and holding them to 21 points. I just – it's just like – it's either we go brain dead on a few plays, but – our brain dead on a few plays seems like it's giving up a touchdown. I just hate that. I hate the, you know, that we play. So, let's say we were on defense 60 plays and we play really well on 55 of them. And then we give up 5 big plays. And next thing you know, they got 28 points. And it's like, ooh, it's just brutal. So, all right, let's get into the ugly real quick. And then we'll move on. Ugly, just that blown coverage on Colby Young. You know, blame it on Damani for not playing good technique football. Blame it on Kane for being too aggressive. And not, it should have been drilled in his head, never get beat deep, but that was bad. Losing containment on defense too much. Fortunately, LT made a huge play, but we didn't have containment on that play, and he just made an amazing play. And then that big reverse they hit. So those are some uglies for me on the defense. Thoughts, other uglies you want to talk about?
I would say other than the duck hook and losing containment, that's it. If we were Georgia fans, we'd be talking about the flying squirrel again, but we're not Georgia fans. So I think it's a pretty short list. When you beat Georgia and Athens in a night game, the ugly is going to be a short list. Mm-hmm.
Hey, think about this, though, guys. We can play better. That was not the best this team can play. We went in there and we won it. We played well because we had to play well to win. But this team has not reached its ceiling. And so if we can continue to build and get closer and closer to that red line, because you want to be redlining as you go into the playoffs because we want to make the playoffs. That's what I love about this team is – we made noticeable mistakes, and we still went into Athens and won. How good is that?
Awesome.
Love
that's
it.
Awesome.
Love it.
You're talking about the red line. Look at the building blocks. Let's not forget, not that it was a great opponent, how dominant we were against Wisconsin. I mean, just like utterly dominant. We're getting better every week.
All right, so now where are we now? Bama's in control of its playoff destiny, and we're in control of the SEC race. I mean, we got it all in front of us. That loss to FSU, if it's the only loss we have, or if we only take one more loss on the season, we got it all in front of us. We just got to bring it week after week. We got seven tough games, and then we, fortunately, I'm glad we have that cupcake before Auburn. So it's nice to have that. We got a bye week, and we got a cupcake game. But I mean, it's all out there for us. So in control of our own destiny. I will say the offense is better than the defense. The offense is clicking. The running game's not where we want it to be, but I love our offense. And our defense is good, but not great. It's not at the level that we expected under Saban. And it can get better, and it needs to get better. And Kane needs to raise his game more and improve himself as a coach and as a schemer and to get the players in the right position. And then the kicking game, we got to be better on the kicking game. So that's, to me, where we are right now. You know, parting shots, parting thoughts.
I'll say this. This is the first time in a long time we've been top 10, and I can say we're considerably better than where we're ranked. You got Ohio State. Yes, Oregon's looking great. I'm glad we're not playing Ole Miss during the regular season. But then the list sort of ends. If you're talking about teams I think would give us a problem, in my opinion, and, you know, yes, I'm including Vandy not giving us a problem. Talk about that some other time, but that's my parting shot. I think we're better than number 10, considerably.
T-Pain?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I mean, the offense is ahead of schedule, I believe, especially the passing game. The running game leaves a lot to be desired. Defense, the passing defense, this is all the stuff we said before the Georgia game. The passing defense is really good, allowing 113 yards a game. The running defense is not so good. So if we can get better on the run defense and the run offense, we might be unstoppable, really. So I like where we are. I mean, I think we're in the driver's seat for sure, and more than likely going to Atlanta. It just depends on who else is going to be there.
I like our chances. We just got to bring it every week, and we cannot drop games like we did to Oklahoma, like we did to Vandy last year. We've got to be focused on the road, but I love it. I love it. I think we're ready. Next up, Vandy, Diego Pavia. All right, that's it for tonight, guys. Thanks for joining me.
I got to go do my lotion, my bedtime routine, Gary.
That's right. Yeah, it's working. It's working,
that's right,
man.
Roll Tide.
All right, thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, follow, hit the notify button wherever you listen to the podcast. Roll Tide and God bless.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide.